Anybody started reading yet? Yo, well done. About equal amount of the first service, which is fantastic. So that's awesome, awesome. Really, really good to see. The rest of us, you know, let's pitch somewhere in between the Blitz and the Max. Hey? And like I said in the first service, there will be an exam at the end of the year. So if you're doing the Max one, good luck. You know, if you're doing the Blitz one, you know, it should be, you should fly through. You know, anybody could do the Blitz one. But anyone, and I'm joking about the exam. I'm like, oh golly, what have we signed up for? T's and C's apply, you know. Luckily, Duncan's leading that, you know, so I don't think there will be an exam. But yeah, it's so good to see you guys, all of you, just reading God's Word together. And that's going to be our plan for the year. We'll break it up into bite-sized chunks throughout the year, so we will have a few breaks in between. But for those who are doing the Max, there's no break. You just go. Hey, go, 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 and work on those guns as we go along. Let's go to Psalm 40 together this morning. And as you make your way there, how many of you watch NCIS at all? Yeah, a few hands go up. You know, Blue Bloods and all those other lacquer NCIS. So I tend to watch it when I'm feeding Jezzy, you know, because it's the only time I can actually watch it because I don't want James to see any, you know, gory things like Jimmy cutting up dead bodies. So while I'm feeding Jezzy, I'm watching this and there was one episode in the latest season where Casey comes to Jimmy and they had this very difficult case which they couldn't solve and Casey also had some really difficult things happening in her own life. But Jimmy, his wife passed away and he's now single parents and he's got a really tough life. But Jimmy is always like, yay. And the rest of the team are like, what's up with you, Jimmy? How can you always be so happy? And, you know, you're cutting up dead people, you know. I'm pretty sure that's not a very happy job. But he's always just so happy-go-lucky. And Casey's going through a personal issue as well. And the whole team couldn't solve this case. So they're all, like, bit down in the dumps. And Casey comes to Jimmy and says, but hang on. You know, why are you always so happy, even with working with dead bodies all the time? And Jimmy's response to her was, stars cannot shine without darkness. Don't know if you remember that in the episode. Stars cannot shine without darkness. And I was like, okay, where's a notebook? Where's a pen? Let me write this down. Because I think it speaks into David's mindset in our reading today. And actually, the other way around. But let's have a look. Psalm chapter 40. And keep that in mind. Stars cannot shine without darkness. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. I'd like to encourage you to just keep your Bible open, because we are going to go back and just read one verse after another as we carry on this morning. A little bit of context here. David in these verses represents himself as having been in a horrible pit, in miry clay. And we know that one of the main reasons why David mostly finds himself in these dark places was because of his own sin. And so most of us here would know that David did two horrible things in his life. Did other like minor things, but two really bad things. I could say this respectfully this morning because there were kids in the first service. He checked out a hot chick on a roof somewhere, and we know what happened very quickly after that. And then he didn't just go and sleep with her. He tried to cover it up by murdering the husband. You know, so I think even in our modern day context, those two things we would still consider really, really bad. Then David doesn't just do these things. He is the king of Israel. He's one of the leaders. So his sin becomes public knowledge. And obviously he loses his seat on the throne and then finds himself in this dark pit. Is it literal pit? No, definitely not literal. More emotional, spiritual, and intellectual. He realized that he had done some horrible things, not just to another human being, but he has brought a lot of shame to God. And so the guilt of that sin weighs him down so much so that he describes himself as someone sitting in utter darkness, in this miry clay. And the people around him enjoy reminding him of that. So when you read through the Psalms, you would often hear him say, you know, my enemies are always before me. They mock me. They bring even more guilt and shame on me. I'm like, yes, rightfully so. You've done something terrible and people should remind you of that all the time. But not to that point where you are overwhelmed in your guilt. In David's case, that's what's happening. And so in verse 1, it says that he's patiently crying out to the Lord for help. Now, that's the one case of being in a pit and miry clay. And I don't know if you ever, have you ever played clay lot as a youngster? I know in Benoni we did. We had a flay and Boksburg was on the other side. And so Benoni and Boksburg weekends, we had war. You know, and you could, if you could hit a guy between the pup and between the eyes, you were the legend for the week. But goodness me, if you got stuck in the miry clay, you were open season target for everybody because you can't get out. You're just trying to get your feet out. You're a little lighty. It was fun. Good old innocent fun. But we broke a lot of noses and bones and all that kind of stuff, having fun across the flay. But the one thing I can remember is the stench of miry clay. It is disgusting. You would walk into the house and your mother's like, you're going straight into the bath and I'm coming with some Dettol to clean you up. But it was nearly impossible if you got stuck in that clay to get out by yourself. You often needed a friend to come help you with clean hands because if he also played clay lot and he grabbed your arm, it was just a slimy mess. I think David describes his guilt and his state in a very, very adequate way. He feels that guilty that he is stuck in this miry clay and he cannot get out by himself. So he's calling upon God to help him out, to bring salvation to him. And you might be sitting there going, okay, great, Jan, I haven't done that. I haven't slept around. I haven't killed anybody. But emotionally, spiritually, I find myself in a very, very dark place. And it could be that it's not because of sin. I think for many of us, the last 20 months has brought a lot of darkness into our world. COVID has really like stolen some light in many cases. And for many of us, we find ourselves, and we can describe our emotional state as a very, very dark place. It's miry clay. Like you just can't seem to work your way out of this hole. And so for you, when David says he's crying out to the Lord for salvation, you could easily put your name into that sentence. Saying, Lord, I've been crying patiently for your help for years and years and years, even prior to COVID, and I'm still crying, Lord. Please, verse 1, would you turn to me and hear my cry? It could be that you're in that pit and you haven't committed any horrendous sin. Life has just knocked you down and you're in a very, very dark place. The good news for us this morning, if that's you, if these texts, Isaiah 9, speaks to you at all, that people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. Know this, that if you're finding yourself in a dark space, the light has dawned. Jesus Christ has come. For David, Jesus Christ was still coming. He put his hope in someone in the near distant future. For us, Jesus and salvation has come. We know of the hope and that the hope is alive and living right now and seated next to God. And so when we cry out to him, we understand that he hears our cries. And those cries don't fall on deaf ears at all. But for some of us, Micah 7 is still so true. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Know that truth today. If you're sitting in a dark pit in miry clay, the Lord will be your light. So cry out to him. The night is nearly over, Romans 13. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. See, friends, instead of giving in, David cries out. He cries out to the Lord for salvation. And what's clear from verse 1 is this: David's salvation and deliverance from this despair wasn't instant. He was wrestling in the mud for a very, very long time. Go read through the Psalms preceding this one. You often hear him say, "My enemies gloat over me. I'm in deep and darkness and I'm struggling, Lord, where are you?" You often hear him calling out, "Please, Lord, I need your salvation." How many of us in this room over the last 20 months or so have been crying out to the Lord, "Lord, I need deliverance. I want to be able to live mask-free." In the first service, I said, "I just want to hug people again. I'm a massive hugger." So my poor son, he gets it in bucket loads. I'm like, "I just need a hug, buddy." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And he comes and he gives me a hug. And then he goes and plays. I'm like, "Hey, bro, I need a hug." And he comes up and he gives me a hug because I'm a hugger. I just want to hold him close. You know, I don't know why. That's just who I am. And so first service, somebody comes, "Can I give you a hug?" And I'm like, "Not yet. I've got hug withdrawal symptoms, you know. So when I get home, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to hug James." "I'll take all your hugs via James. It's cool." But often I think from some of us, we've been in this dark pit and hugging might not be your thing, but you long for something else that's been taken away in the last 20 months. You cannot wait for that day where you don't have to worry about that anymore. Cry out to God. Let him be your salvation, regardless of what it is right now. And keep praying. Keep asking, like the persistent widow, just like David did. You and I at times need to persevere in our darkness. Wait patiently for the Lord. Because the good news is he will answer. He might not give us the answer we want, but the good news is he will answer. Just like he did with David, he turned his attention to David like a father does for his child. Child nagging, nagging, nagging. "I want some juice, I want some juice." Eventually, "Okay, James, let's go have some juice." Often you and I need to persevere in prayer. For some of us, just like David, it's going to be a long journey. For others, yes, it'd be a shorter journey. But there is good news at the end. There is good news. "Yes, Lord, you have heard my cry." There is good news. This is the good news. That for David in verse 2, God lifted him out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And here it is. "He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm foundation to stand." Now for David, remember, he was BC days, before Christ. He had no idea what an amazing foundation Jesus Christ will be for us right now. And so you, in your darkness, cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ to come be your light and your salvation. Come and be right there in the mud with you. He might, like the analogy that I used with us playing clay lots as a child, he would come with no clay on his hands, sit next to you and pick you up, and go, "Okay, let's go for a bath. Psalm 51, I'm going to wash you whiter than snow and restore unto you the joy of your salvation so that you can once again stand on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, and live to the glory of God." So friends, twofold, if you've put yourself in that pit like David did because of sin in your life, cry out to the Lord for salvation and he will come and lift you up and set you free. If you've been placed into that pit because of the circumstances of this world, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him. He will come with you, lift you up, put you onto solid rock and a firm foundation. And the reason why, I think the biggest reason why he wants to do this is verse 3, "He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. many will see what God has done in your life, in your darkness, how He has set you free, how He has transformed your life and put you onto the solid foundation, which is Christ Himself. They will see that goodness and that mighty work, and they'll give glory to God. And so will you and I. The song we've just sung, "All of my life you have been faithful, all of my life you have been so, so good." How much more would we sing that with passion when it actually happens in our lives? When it's not just a distant thing where God saves David, oh, great, that's fine. But when God saves you, when He takes you out of your darkness and He brings some light into your life, isn't it true that then it's for me, it's a testimony in my life, and we can speak with a lot more credibility and confidence when that happens? I'm not hoping that darkness befalls you in order for you to come up and then shine as a bright star in the darkness. I'm not hoping that for you. I'm just warning you, it's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to happen, He's got a lot more credibility than what I do. When He warns us that this life is going to hit the living daylights out of you, it's coming. And for most of us in this room, you would say, but it's come. I've been there. I've done that. I can testify of the goodness of God. And that's what gives me hope in this text, that even if you and I find ourselves in the deepest, darkest, slimiest pit ever, stinking, dodgy, whatever you want to call it, if you surrender your life into the hands of God and you cry out to Him, He will be faithful and just. He will come and rescue you because He wants the world to see His goodness. He wants the world to see Him. He wants the world to see the miracle in and through your life. And so if you're in the darkness, cry out. God wants to come and be your hero. He wants to come and be your salvation so that He can show the world how good and how powerful He is. So if you're in that dark pit, surrender, cry out, call upon Him until He puts the new song in your mouth, a new hymn of praise, where you can go and tell the world the goodness of God. And then the next part of the verse, many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him because of what God has done in your life. Just like Casey said to Jimmy, how is it that you are so passionate and so happy even though really bad things have happened to you? And his response is, stars only shine darkness. Hopefully our response could be a bit more biblical and we go, I'm only who I am today because of Christ living in me. I'm only able to smile and go for a walk on the promenade and be a light in this dark world because of Christ shining in and through me. You and I cannot do this on our own. I know I can't. That when I'm down in the dumps, I really need God's light to shine because I become a grumpy old man. James has told me that. He's like, Daddy, you're a grumpy old man. And I'm like, you're not helping, boy. But it's the truth. In those moments, I need to lean more on God than myself, so that God's light would shine in and through me, so much so that my son would see it and give glory to God. It's like, well done, Daddy, you dealt with that well. May that be our response in 2022, where even when things go bad for us, we are able to cry out to the Lord and surrender our lives to Him and allow Him to work in and through us for His glory. But maybe you're on the rock. You're not in the miry clay. Darkness does not surround you. You're enjoying the light of life right now. Life is good. And so for you, and if you relate with that, then verse 6 onwards applies to you passionately. Oh friends, may we come to church for those who are standing on the rock and we're having a great time. May we come to church and sacrifice our lives for the right reasons. May we come and worship the Lord for the right reasons. Not to get the praise of man, but to glorify God. It says the Lord is not pleased with burnt offerings if it doesn't come from the right place. And it's so easy when life is good to just come to church, go through the motions, and have a smile on our face because everything's going okay. But we forget why everything's going okay. We forget why we've got a smile on our face and a spring in our step. And so if that's you today, hear this call on God, from God, on us. Verse 8, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. See, friends, if we're happy and everything goes well, that's fantastic. But God's law needs to be the fuel, needs to light that flame and keep that flame going. Because as I said earlier, Christ has warned us that in this life you will have trouble. So when life is good, expect trouble. Because it's going to come. It's going to come. And if you and I don't build our lives on the solid foundation, the Word of God, when the troubles of life come, we'll soon find ourselves in the miry clay once again. I would rather get hit by a piece of clay from this world, standing on Christ the solid rock, than just standing on sinking sand. That's the call upon us right now. And that's why we're doing the big here this year. So that every single one of us in this room and those watching online, every single one of us would do everything in our power to make sure that our lives are built on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So that when our time of darkness comes, we're able to shine brightly and bring glory to God and God alone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness first, right now. That regardless of where we find ourselves, Lord, whether life is good or whether we find ourselves in the miry clay, I want to thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. And that as the Good Shepherd, you would never leave us if we've gone astray. But you will leave the 99 sheep behind and come and find us in the dark and miry clay. And so this morning, friends, as our eyes are closed and you're seated here, if you're finding yourself in a space of darkness, if you're stuck in the miry clay and you long for the Lord to just come and pick you up out of that darkness, I would ask that you just briefly raise your hand so we can pray for you this morning. Thank you so much. Oh Lord, we sort of bring all these people to you right now. Those who have raised their hands and those who haven't. You are fully aware that they find themselves in a very, very dark and difficult place right now. Oh Lord, hear the cries of their hearts. Turn your face towards us, Lord, and hear our prayer. Lord, come and be the light of our salvation. Come lift us up so that we too would have a new song on our hearts and we would sing new praises to you, not just with our words, but with our lives, so much so that when others see you lifting us up out of the miry clay, they would give glory to you, God. For only you can save. Only you can deliver. Only you can redeem. And so for those of us, Lord, that are in this dark space right now, we ask for your light to come and shine. Lift us up, Lord. Lift us up. And then for those of us who find ourselves standing firmly on Christ the solid rock, We ask for your guidance, Lord. And for your strength to help us in terms of our relationship with you to keep growing. Keep digging into your word and laying one brick after the other upon the solid rock so that when the storms of life would come, that our homes that we've built are strong enough to stand. And even when we take a knock, we know that you are our strength and our song, and that you will carry us all day long. It's our prayer today, Lord. Help those who find themselves in darkness. Set them free and put a new song in their hearts. And help those who have life good at the moment to prepare themselves for the storms to come. And help us in 2022 to build our lives upon you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we share in the benediction together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. May you have a good week.